We have a few young people here, but we are hoping that we have a little bit more. Because when we put this message together, we are thinking especially about them. The rest of you, remember, we are candidates for eternity, so we all kids. So don't feel left out, because we all, in that sense, children. And we are very, very happy to see all of you here this morning. This text, of course, we will read verse 5 as well later on. But remember the Lord in all that you do, and He will give you success. So this verse implies that success and the Lord is related. You have one, you have the other. So that's what the verse implies. And only a wise person realized that. So if you can see that, that means you are among the wise. Now, before we start talking about today, let's define what is wise very, very clearly. Sometimes we call a person wise because a person has a lot of knowledge. Knowledge is not wisdom. Knowledge is the ability to discern knowledge and apply it. Okay? So that's what wisdom is all about. I have seen people that have a lot of knowledge. And young people, close your ears. You're not going to hear me saying this, but they're as dumb as a rock. They act with so much foolishness that you can say, how can it be? This person that has so many degrees, you know, they have more letters after their name than their name themselves. You know, there's a PhD, this and this, so many things after. And yet, they make decisions, they reflect like they have no wisdom. So it's very important for us to discern right from the beginning what it means to be wise. So we'll give you today just a few verses of the Bible, some few approaches for you to walk out of here in a search of wisdom. That is the intent, for you to search for wisdom. The gift of reason. Without reason, wisdom, knowledge means nothing. So the most important part of our lives is the gift of reason. God said, now we will make humans, and they will be like us. Many people do not understand what it means when it says He will be made in our image, make like us. Us in what sense? We do not look like God in every aspect. You know, like we all imagine God, because He's an Ancient of Days, maybe He's bald like me. Or because He's Ancient of Days, maybe He have a gray hair like I do. Or wrinkles. And sometimes, have you noticed the artists? Sometimes they read something in the Bible and they try to paint. And all that they have to think about is they have to look into another human and try to make God look like us, instead of us like God. And so he says, they will be like us. In what sense? They will have, and the rest of the verse will tell you what that means. It says, we will let them rule the fish, the birds, and all other living creatures. Is trying to define what the image is all about. Because they have the power of reason, they will be able to rule. The rule here is not the rule that we understand today, like to have control over, but the rule to serve, because you have the ability to think, you are a rational being, so you will be able to use that skill to protect the world that God has put under your care. So God created humans to be like Himself. And then it says this, He made man and women. So when God created, He didn't create man to be like Him and women to be like man. He created both to have the image of God. So we are both created with the intent to rule the world that God put under our care. And that is the gift of reason. The difference from us to other sorts of animals is exactly that particular gift that we receive, learning to make choices. When we are born, we developed, little by little we developed. And as we developed in our mental capacities, we start acquiring knowledge. But we do not acquire wisdom. Wisdom is a gift from God. So here it comes. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from where? From the Bank of America. Now it doesn't say it like this. It says every good gift and every perfect gift come from my savings account or comes from inheritance that I had a very rich father I got from him or I get. No, it says every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above and comes down from the Father of lights, which whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. He changes not. So whatever conclusion you get about God, if you're wrong, you are very wrong. But if you're right, you have to understand that you can rely on it because he changes not. James 1 verse 17. Now, by the way, this is a very good verse for you to read when you look into your child, especially when your child misbehaved. So every good gift, Lord, this one, yes. Because God has given us, every human being that is born pure. We mess them up. Amen. Okay? They learn, they acquire knowledge, and then later on they become very messed up. So we must be very careful, because when God gave to us, the gift was perfect. So keep it perfect. Teach them well. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. That's Psalms 127, verse 3, New Living Translation. And again, learning to make choices. All your children shall be taught by whom? By the Lord. Who gives wisdom? God. The Lord. So who gives the children? The Lord. Who gives you wisdom to teach his children? The Lord. And great shall be the peace of your children. And yours too. And you have less gray hair if you do this well. Isaiah 54 verse 13. Again, if you correct your children, they will bring you peace and happiness. We live in a society right now that parents are intimidated by the state, limited by the state, how much you should discipline your children. I remember, this is too personal, but I'm going to share because I said this before. I remember one time my son went to school, the Seventh-day Adventist school, and one teacher there decided to tell him a little bit more than we should. Told him that he could go home and tell his parents, don't dare to discipline me because I will call somebody to take care of you. And so my son came home with this power. I could look in his face. He felt powerful. And he looked at me and says, Dad, if you do this, this is going to happen. And then I said, son, please sit down. I have something else to share with you that you're teaching. Didn't tell you. And he sat down, he looked at me, and I said to him, your teacher forgot to tell you that I also have rights. I can call the state and take you out of my house too. My son opened his eyes big, and he was scared. He never, ever again dare to challenge his mom or myself. We made it very clear to him, there is no one in this earth that is more concerned about your well-being than your mother and myself. Embrace that as a gift, because you're privileged that we care about you enough to discipline you. Parents who love their children more than themselves will correct their children. Because believe me, if you are in your house and there is a machine there, they start making strange noises and it gets a little bit of smoke, would you just turn off the machine, or you let the machine keep running until it burns the machine or maybe burn your house? It's not any different than your child. When your child starts doing things that smoke and coming out of their ears, you better push a button, take care of it before it burns out. Burns him or her and your house too. Take care of business when it's time to take care of. Don't wait. Do not go to bed and sleep when you have things to do. Finish your work, because those that work hard, when there is light, when the dark comes, they sleep well. Every day you make choice. This is for most for the young people, but since there are everybody here is so young, it may apply to all of us. Why do you dress the way you do? And by the way, this is for all of us. I have seen people that have gray hair and they dress very, very awkward. Why do you dress the way you do? Why do you talk and act the way you do? Why do you hang around people? You know, there are some people that you can tell that the way they act, and if that's your friends, that reflects who you are. Why are you here right now? What motivates you to be here in this place? What brought you here? Today, I want to ask yourself these questions. How am I making my choices? What is motivating me to choose what I choose? Who makes my choices? Am I in charge of my choices? Or is something else making choices for me? What is influencing my choices? What am I making them? Why? Who and what pressures you to do? Wear what you wear? Talk the way you talk? Eat what you eat? Think the way you think? Who is making choice for you? If you are honest with yourself, and I hope everyone here is, you would say that the culture around you has a huge say in what you do, what you wear, how you act, and how you talk. I'm surprised sometimes that one person goes on television and say, make one statement. And most of the time, the statement is false. It's just to instigate. And sometimes people do, you are just to call attention to themselves or to have some extra clicks. They don't care about the consequence of what they are saying. And sadly, we hear a false statement, and even before we take the time to check, we pass on. We become part of the hate. We become part of the system that is all messed up with intent to mess up our choices as well. Again, if you are honest, music, money, friends, movies, sports shape the choice you make for two reasons. Because you're forced to accept, because you don't want to be rejected. You fear not to be part of the herd. So you want to be like a sheep. You bow down your head and just behave like everybody else because you're afraid to be different. How many times in this life have you been put in a position when you were asked to be wise or to act like a fool? And just to fit in, you decide to be a fool with less risk. You dress like your friends because you fear that you will look different. And you want to be accepted by your friends. I don't know. I'm going to touch something here that I shouldn't, but I don't know. No, I'm going to go for it. You go to sometimes to churches. And you see people in front not dressed like this anymore. Because they look on television, they say, this is cool. This is the way everybody. And they don't realize that they are copying somebody else. They don't have a reason for it itself. It's just to be like somebody else. I'm not saying that I'm by dressing this. Do you know why I take the time to dress like this? It's to show respect to you and to the God that I serve.
Amen.
That's why I dress like this. It's not because if you dress different than me, that you're less than me. That's the only reason why. And when you dress your best to come to church, you're giving that person right beside you a gift as well.
Amen.
It is good to look into good things, isn't it? You want to fit in. And choices and consequences, it all depends on your choices. Your education, your motivation, your dedication, your health, your habits, your humility, and the most important one, your beliefs, your faith, because they constitute what you are. That's what you are. Choices made, whether bad or good, follow you forever. And by the way, there is two places about forever. There is one, eternal life, and there is another one, a barbecue. And affect everyone in the path, one way or the other. This is Miss Jennifer Spreadman, who said this. Choices made, whether bad or good, follow you forever and affect everyone in their path one way or the other. Not only affect yourselves, but affect everybody else around you as well. He who stands for nothing will fall for anything. Alexander Hamilton said this. He who stands for nothing will be nothing. That's Pastor Elson saying. Conviction. Stand for what is right, even when others don't. Don't be afraid of the consequences if you are trying to do something right. Be afraid of the consequences if you are always preoccupied in doing what is wrong. You are to please others. Convictions is worthless unless it is converted into conduct, into action. That is Thomas Carlyle who said that. Conviction is worthless. I would say this, religion is worthless if it doesn't change you and change people around you. That's basically what it is all about. So take time to stop. Yes, stop. Think, choose, and proceed. Make into a method. That is the wise. You stop, you think, you choose, and then you take a step. Make choices. There is a process. The wise have a process. The fools, they just do by accident. First, stop. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. Let me give you this in a different version of the Bible. Okay, here's another version. But we have God's Spirit with us, so we can understand the true value of all things. But other people cannot truly understand us who belong to God. When some people they do not have belief, they have no faith, they keep, why do you go to church on Sabbath? Why don't you buy things? Why don't you do this? Sometimes it's just curiosity. Sometimes it's an opportunity for you to explain your faith. And sometimes it's just a way for them to try to ridicule you because you are different. Test all things. How many things I should test?
All
things. Only the fools don't test it. They don't test anything. They just go for it, and that's why they are fools. Hold fast to what is good. What is bad, discard. I tell people, when you are good, you attract to what is good. You look for is good, and you look good. That's the blessing of being good. Search for what is good. Be committed to what is good. And believe me, the good one will call you home. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still. By the way, this is words very appropriate for us today. Don't be afraid. Stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. Not mañana. Today. For the Egyptians who you see, for the troubles that you see right now, if you look at me, if you concentrate on my promises and my power, you will never see them again. No more. Forever. Now then, stand still and see this great thing that the Lord is about to do before your eyes. First Samuel 12:16. Enthusiasm without knowledge is what? No good. Haste makes mistakes. That's the what happens. This is Proverbs 19, verse 2. If any of you need wisdom, what do? You cannot buy it. You have to ask. And what happens when you ask? God will give to you, because God is generous. And why does God give wisdom to us? Because He's the only one who has it. If you look for wisdom any other place, you already make a foolish mistake and won't correct you for asking. James chapter 1, verse 5. A person's heart plans their own way, right? But the Lord directs our steps. It says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord is the one who directs his steps. Trust the Lord with all your heart. How much of it?
All of your heart.
And don't depend on your own foolishness. Understanding. Yeah. Remember the Lord in all that you do, and He will give you success. That is the verse that I will say, 5 and verse 6. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and verse 6. Now, brothers and sisters, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove that it is what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That should be the total goal of every person's existence. The purpose is to seek what is good, what is acceptable before God, and what's perfect, and what is reflect the will of God. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying this. This is the way. Walk in it. Whatever you turn to the right hand, or whatever you turn to the left. Who do you think is talking? Is the voice of the Spirit telling you, this is the way. Walk in it. And I believe the Holy Spirit, when it says, this is the way, probably the Holy Spirit is trying to remind us that Jesus said, I am the way. Jesus Christ said, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to what? Destruction. And there are how many that goes through it? Many. Don't follow it. Search for the narrow gate. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes cause situations like embarrassment. But I'd rather be embarrassed to death in this life and enjoy the privilege of eternal life than to be glorified here and be barbecued later. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. And all of you here understand what I mean by barbecue, right?
Yes.
You know. So it says here, he, Moses, I put in parentheses so you know that it's Moses, chose to suffer with God's people instead of enjoy sin for a short time. I'm not going to put myself in the shoes or sandals of Moses. But I did, and probably many of you here can relate to this. There would be a time in your life that probably you will receive some invitation to take a different path in your life. And there will be a temptation. There will be somebody says, if you take this step, this is what is going to happen. If you do this, this is what you're going to receive. So Moses had that temptation too. He could be now one of the Pharaohs. Could be there, you know, a bunch of bones inside of a box or something else. Instead, he's in heaven. Amen. Can you imagine what a choice he made? Instead of be the most powerful man in a country of Egypt, he went with a bunch of lunatics, because that's what Israel was, troublemakers, nasty, difficult people. And he went that path, eating dust for 40 some years. But look where he is now. Would you like to follow his footsteps? Look like he chose to suffer with God's people. Hang in there, brothers and sisters. Difficult times may come in your life, but stay put, because the best is yet to come. Yes, the Lord have something special for those that are willing to suffer for God's people, for God's cause. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom will you serve. Let me continue the verse. It says this. By the way, there's no such thing as gods. Okay? Idols. So I cross that, because even the version says God, it means idols. So whether the idols which your father served that were on the other side of the river Jordan, or the idols of the Ammonites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we need to say this together, don't you think? Let's say this. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord and the Lord only, all my life, here and forever. Amen. That's what Joshua said. And I like Joshua because he's Yahshua. Yes. Yes, the Lord saves. That's what he means. Wise friends make you wise. But what happens to fools? They end up hurting themselves. If you attract to a fool, what do you think that your future will become? And I'm talking about the young people that will be attracted to some of the opposite sex. And what happens if you are attracted to a fool? You're going to get a lot of foolishness in your life. And foolishness hurts. Wise friends make you wise, but you hurt yourself by going around with fools. Foolishness. Now, the fourth step. I put this on purpose. I made this for you to see. One, four, and seven. Every step we take in life, we need to project these 70 steps. So let us run the race that is before us. And never give up. Say with me, never give up. never give up. And I'm saying this so that nobody falls asleep here. Okay, so let's say it again. I never give up. And may the Holy Spirit imprint that in your mind so you will always have that conviction. We should remove from our lives anything that will get in the way. And the sin that is so easily hold us back. We have to get rid of that thing that is holding us back. Now, Paul continues, not that I have already obtained that or am already perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold on that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Now, when I read this, I think about the Israelites just came for 400 some years of being in Egypt. Now they are there, and here comes the army, and they want to destroy the Israel. Now they look back, all that dust, destruction is coming. In front of them,
water.
The water. Oh boy, we are in trouble. Moses, how are we going to get out of this? Moses said, okay, let me talk to God. God, is there something wrong in the planning here? And the Lord says, march. March where? Back we cannot go. Forward we cannot go. Where do we go? March. If we have faith, we'll be able to see things that only the chosen ones can see. Have faith. One prayer that I'd like to recommend to you when you go to your home, say, Lord, I want to have an eye surgery. I want the Jesus eyes. Give me the privilege to see things with his eyes. I want to look to my neighbor with Jesus eyes. I want to just look at a mirror and see myself with Jesus' eyes. I would like to look with the pastor with Jesus' eyes. I like to look to my first elder, my wonderful pianist, and the future member of our church, and her husband, the future member of our church. By God's grace, we are very blessed. We like to say to you, my brothers and sisters, it is important for us to start looking with Jesus' eyes. Amen. Everything in our lives. Again, proceed. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Nothing should question our beliefs, our faith. We studied this week. Thank you for the lesson, my brother. About the Bible, what makes the Seventh-day Adventist unique? It is sola scriptura. And when we say only the Bible, we mean only the Bible. I mentioned to you here before, when I made a decision to be baptized, my teachers that was part of the board, they came to interview me. I thought it was interrogation, but they call interview. And they asked me about the Sabbath, about the eating pork, about eating all this stuff. And they did not have a lot of time because the Sabbath school was about to start, and all of them were teachers of the Sabbath school. And so they were in a hurry to catch up to see how much this young man really knows, because I said, I want to be baptized, and I want to be baptized today, at 4 o'clock this afternoon, I want to be baptized. And they asked me those questions. And I had my Bible in my hand. And I said to them, look, whatever is in this book, I am committed to accept. I was not telling them, give me a baptism certificate with all the doctrines of the church. I said, whatever is in this book, I am committed from page to page. At that time, I already have read the whole Bible. And I knew what I was making my choice. Amen. And that choice that allowed me to stand before you even today, and that same choice will allow me to see Jesus Christ when he comes. Amen. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without any wavering. For he who promised is
faithful.
Oh, we need to be a little bit louder. For he, the one who promised, is
faithful.
Don't have a doubt, because every single promise that he has made to you and I, it will be fulfilled. We are almost done. Choices and consequences. For the wages of sin is
eat
the wrong thing.
Right?
But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a beautiful text. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is the opposite. Is the opposite. Is the only thing that it really is, which is eternal life.
Amen.
Love God more than your stuff. Love your family more than your friends. Young boys, young lady, young people, don't ever put a stranger above your family. Honor your family, even when they don't behave very well. Honor them. Don't go across the street or across somewhere and speak bad about a person in your family to anybody. Not in a church, not anywhere. Don't ever speak bad about your church member. That is family. That's eternal family. If there is something wrong with your brother, our Bible says you have a responsibility to be wise and approach that person and with kindness, with grace, talk to that person. Don't abuse others with the excuse that you have the right to make remarks, hurtful remarks about other people. If you talk bad about other people, it's because you're a fool, not because you're wise. Wise people don't go around destroying others. They take too little time in those matters. If you're wise, you'll be always building something. You're never going to be destroying what other people build. Love family more than your friends. Love yourself more than what you wear. There are some people that put all the gold, all the treasure upon themselves and think that they're going to be looking richer. If you are precious, you don't need to add stuff on you. God made you precious already. Don't try to, instead of putting gold on your ears, listen and put the gold in God's hands.
Amen.
Love the world, the word, not the world. Love others above yourself, and everybody else will love you. It is the giving that gives power, it's not the taking. Notice around the world, the people that are so anxious to take what belongs to others, they're always poor. They're always miserable. They always have nothing. It's not quantity that makes to define people, it's quality.
Amen.
Remember that always it is quality, not quantity. Where is your heart? They are blessed whose thoughts are pure, for they will see God.
Amen.
Dirty mind people, people that always have a language that are not even the dogs wants to hear them. Have you heard that? I have seen people that call themselves Christians and they... I'm going to be gross, okay? I apologize beforehand. But there are people that the way they open their mouth looks like a toilet. You know, it's all very dirty. And sometimes this day now, because they have these little things on their ears, and they are talking to somebody else. And they walk around like, yeah. And you look around, there are a lot of little devils around, because that's the environment that they, it's dirty. And they don't care about anybody else. All the filthiness that they have inside, they project. Yeah, it's a walking toilet. They are blessed whose thoughts are pure. If you are a child of God, your thoughts have to be pure.
Amen.
You have to be clean. You have to be holy. Don't allow the devil to dictate your vocabulary. Talk like a child of God. Listen like a child of God. Be good as a child of God, and then you see how blessed you be when you see God.
Amen.
Create pure thoughts in me, Lord. That's my prayer. And make me faithful again. How beautiful that is. May the Lord bless each one of you. Remember, you have one goal in life, to be like Him. May God bless you. Be wise. Seek wisdom, and He will make you wise.